The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.
We're back, folks. Thanks for tuning in. We're commencing our third and final hour of a Sunday show. And we've got Mitzi on the phone. Lest I make you wait any further, Mitzi, welcome to the air. Kevin?
Yes, Kevin? I was going to ask you if there was a chance I could make the point of the call.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Wrap it up. Thank you.
Yeah, it was in relation to what you're pointing out with the press and everybody going after the man, Donald John Trump, you know, who took the oath before our God to preserve and protect America and stuff. There's an old, I forget the Scots Gaelic term for it, but my family is descended from Niall of the Nine, and he was the High King of Ireland, and they have a term for it in Scots Gaelic, Clan Fergus, something like that, chief of all the clans. And the reason this is important is because of the fact that the King of England, having taken that oath to the Pope and given him all his property through the banker Bower, back in the 1200s, forcing Magna Carta and stuff, the Scottish were not completely part of his kingdom when that happened. So this is a whole bunch of history right here, and that's part of why they're terrified, is because Mr. Trump could very easily bring back what America was supposed to be founded upon. You see what I'm talking about?
Well, yes, I do, and that'll be an interesting conversation, Kevin, sometime. We'll talk about Scottish roots, it'd be
that
wonderful to talk about.
Part of why I wanted to call in was to bring that out.
Yes, and very pertinently, Donald Trump's mother was born in Scotland, and like you, third generation, her family from Scotland. And so Donald Trump has a tremendous, Scottish, among his Scottish family names is MacLeod. I myself am a MacLeod, so I'm a cousin to Donald Trump through his mother. But Kevin, thank you very much for all of that. Some good history.
Thank you for letting me make my point. I appreciate it. I appreciate your show. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Kevin. And now, let us hope that Mitzi is still with us. Are you there, Mitzi? Come in, Mitzi.
Yes, James. Yes, James. Great show as usual. Good afternoon.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to add to the discussion about erasing Southern history that one of your callers brought up. Something that's happening in Florida that's very interesting. In the Florida legislature this last year and this year, South Florida legislators, particularly like first and second generation Cubans who are now senators, they're all mostly attorneys. I mean, they're really well educated. They're attorneys, and now they're state senators, but they're Cuban, and they're really the children of refugees. And this is what they do after they're here a while. They're so into political correctness that these are the names of the senators: Rodriguez, Javier Jose Rodriguez, Anatir Flores, and Rene Garcia. This Kirby Smith is a general. He's a Confederate general, and in like the 1920s, Florida had his statue erected in the Statuary Hall, which is in Washington, D.C. When you visit Washington, the Statuary Hall, every state has two statues of prominent people from the state. Because of political correctness, these three Cuban senators, refugees' children, first and second generation of Cuban-Americans, requested the Joint Committee on the Library of Congress to approve the replacement of the statue of the Confederate General Edmund Kirby Smith in the National Statuary Hall with a statue of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. Well, I will tell you, the blacks in the legislature, they want him replaced with, Bethune-Cookman. She's the founder of a college in Daytona Beach, and they have some other people. You know, here's our gratitude to refugees. And I like Cubans, and I think they do a good job. They're really, you know, intelligent, and they do some good things. But here they want to change our history. They don't know anything about Kirby Smith. They want to replace him. This guy was a West Point graduate, a scientist, a botanist. He wants to be replaced because he was in the Civil War. He was a general in the war between the states. He was born in Florida in St. Augustine, and they want to replace him with Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, and she wrote the book, The River of Grass, about the Everglades. But she was born in Minnesota. But in the, you know, for political correctness, we must erase Southern history. So it's really why Florida needs to be a North Florida and a South Florida, because we have all these South Florida legislators trying to pass laws to erase our history. And this is a big story this week about the monuments being removed, Confederate monuments being removed in New Orleans that people are very outraged about. And they just know nothing about history because, you know, only 4% of, you know, the Southerners had slaves. And it was really, it wasn't just a war about slavery. It was a war about tyranny from the federal government. Well, in Florida, we suffer from tyranny from South Florida. So we have, this has been, Governor Scott last year signed a bill to replace Kirby Smith, but they have to get permission now from the Library of Congress to do so. Are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm listening intently. And, you know, you're bringing back some Florida memories for me. I remember I used to live in Panama City Beach, and there on the Redneck Riviera, that's the actual name of the part of Florida, folks, the Redneck Riviera, and right there on the Gulf Coast. And I remember at the county courthouse in Dufuniac Springs, I remember I was there with a patriot friend of mine, a listener to this show, and I heard we were just at the county courthouse for one reason or another. And I'm going to expand this up here a little bit so I can see Dufuniac Springs on my map here. But at the county courthouse there, he had a property in Red Bay. I heard I heard the American flag, you know, I was standing by the flagpole, and you know how you hear the rope snapping in the wind against the pole. And so I heard the American flag flapping up above my head. And I just looked up to, you know, look at our flag. And lo and behold, this is a Florida thing that you'll recognize, Mitzi. And this was not that long ago. This was about 10 years ago. I looked up at our American flag, and there, flapping proudly in the wind, the only flag in front of the courthouse, the stars and bars of the Confederacy. It was at the county. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not sure it's still there because the Florida Senate had an emblem, and last year they made sure they removed the Confederate flag that was on the emblem. And so there's this whole movement to, you know, remove any kind of Confederate history. There was a high school in Jackson named Forest High School, and there was a superintendent. He's now going to Detroit Public Schools, but he was here knowing nothing about the history, being a total outsider. He was instrumental in having the whole school's name changed to Westside High School. So there's this whole movement. If anything has, anyone has a Confederate flag or a, you know, it's a Confederate general, you know, Jefferson Davis, General Lee, we have to remove them. We have to move their monuments, their statues. If there's anything named after them, we have to remove it. And it's just, it really is totally outrageous. It's just, and what else about Kirby Smith? You know, besides being a West Point graduate, a botanist, a mathematician, he was a college professor in World War II. There was a ship named for him, the SS E. Kirby Smith, and it was built in Panama City, Florida. Born in St. Augustine, just he's a Floridian, and his statue is there's nothing wrong with his statue, but we, because it has anything to do with the Confederate flag, you know, we're you know, we have to remove it. Or the Civil War. It's just amazing.
Yeah, Panama City, right there, adjacent to Panama City Beach, where I lived on the beach. And the the good news though is that wonderful sight to me of seeing the Confederate battle flag flying at not at somebody's house at in on the big giant flagpole there in front of the county courthouse in Dufuniac Springs. The point I'm making is that the point I made to Kevin in New Hampshire is that this patriotic America. That Paul, even though he's a Canadian, Paul remembers this patriotic America because it was the same in Canada. Remember, Paul, how, you know, at meetings and stuff, you would talk about the red ensign. Tell the folks a little bit, what's the red ensign in Canada in the comparison to our, old traditional American flags?
Well, it was our flag up until the revolution of 1965 when they changed the flag the same year they changed the immigration system. The old red ensign is a beautiful, passionate flag that points to our British origins and our European origins, and it's symbolic of a European Canada with the English language predominant, the our legal and political traditions from England and Europe. It stood for what we were. Well, now they're of course are changing it into a multicultural hodgepodge, and so they changed the flag. And that's why we rebels in Canada fly only the old red ensign at our meetings. And it has become to us what the Confederate battle flag is to many Americans, even Americans who are not Southerners. We are essentially in both our countries in a cultural war against the globalists and the invaders.
Yes, and I'm looking now. You can read about it, folks, in this horrible place, Wikipedia. It's probably a decent article about the Canadian Red Ensign. And those of you who, with a few years on you, you remember this this maple leaf flag. That's not your traditional Canadian flag. And what a silly flag, a flag of a picture of a red maple leaf. What does that say about? That's nothing to do with Canada's heritage. But this wonderful Red Ensign is...
The new flag, the red maple leaf on the white background, really looks like some insurance company's logo. It doesn't say anything. Deliberately so. You can fit in whatever you want there, and that's what what they really want.
Oh, and here's something encouraging. I just learned this very second, Paul, looking at the article today. Two Canadian provincial flags are red ensigns. The flag of Ontario and the flag of Manitoba, both of which were introduced in 1965 after the Canadian Red Ensign was replaced by the Maple Leaf flag. Let's see here. And the Red Ensign was seen as a symbol of colonialism. Ooh, evil. And of the British Empire. Ooh, more evil.
Yes, and you're trying to remake a country. You're trying to... Our present Prime Minister, the Trust Fund Kid, says Canada has no culture. We are the first post-national state, well, whatever that means. In other words, we really don't stand for anything. We're going to make it up as we go along. And you can be put in. See, what they want to be able to do is to include all the newcomers. Not include them on the basis that they become, become like us or adopt our standards, but rather... that they simply do their own thing. And so if we really don't have a culture, it's okay.
Well, it says here, the leader of the Progressive Conservative Party, John Diefenbaker, was especially passionate in his defense of the Red Ensign.
That's
in
true.
In protest of the federal government's decision to go with the Maple Leaf flag, which that move was made by Lester Pearson, progressive conservative governments in Ontario and Manitoba adopted red ensigns as their provincial flags in 1965 and 66, respectively. So I'm going to look for that when I drive north into Manitoba from my position here in North Dakota. Manitoba is just north of us. I'll be looking for that red ensign flag of Manitoba, which looks just like the old Canadian Red Ensign. It's just a little bit different there in its symbols it has. I forget the name in flag terminology. A few different symbols in there, but it's very, very reminiscent flag. So it's nice. And, you know, maybe the Red Ensign will come back to Canada someday, Paul.
Oh, wait, that's what we're striving for. That's what we're working on.
Well, Mitzi, anything else that you want to share with our audience?
I just wanted to tell Kevin, the Irishman in New Hampshire, that the British were not happy with all the Irishmen that signed the Declaration of Independence. So they felt the problem with the colonies were all those Irishmen. So we need a few Irishmen packed up again to restore what America used to be. Because here in Florida, they want to make us speak Spanish, too. English yeah. is not the national language at all. So it's yeah. not the state language either. Well, that's it for me. James, great show as usual. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mitzi. I've got all these messages coming to me on the our engineer's board here. If you want to call in and join in the show, it's 800-313-9443. If you'd like to add anything on things we've talked about or something new. And the ending where we began, we'll be covering Donald Trump's amazing trip through Europe and the Middle East. Let me look at my sheet here of the itinerary. Just to recapitulate, he is, as we speak, in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, apparently doing very well, and addressing the leaders of 50 Muslim countries. What a, you know, for the guy who really took on the Muslim threat to America and to the European world, to our civilization, as no one since Charles Lindbergh has. And let me read this. Let me read. I went to my Lindbergh memorabilia here, and let me tell you, folks, I'm still hurting. Not from the broken rib I suffered in being hit by a car in an intersection last Monday. I am suffering from having missed a chance to get a copy of the book North to the Orient by Ann Morrow Lindbergh, signed. Oh, I can't. Oh, the pain. Signed by Charles A. Lindbergh, signed by Ann Morrow Lindbergh, and with an inscription from Charles Lindbergh of the place in New Jersey that they were at, which is Ann Morrow Lindbergh's parents' home, and the date 1935. I had a chance to get it. Oh, I just didn't have the money, but it went pretty cheap. It went for $328. I just didn't have it. And if I had that, I'd have a shrine here with that in it. But here is the Reader's Digest for November 1939, Lindbergh's article, and here's what he says about us. And this is what Trump is all about. He says. Well, he'll say it right after this break. Stay tuned.
We are. are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide, foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
We're back, folks. You're listening to the American Freedom Party Report. And we're just wrapping up some of the subjects that we've opened today. Good song to listen to. Here we go. As we enter our final hour.
I'm Charles, I said, I hope that you're able.
We're back, folks. Well, if we can get the music to fade. This happens once in a while.
We're coming up to the exciting conclusion of a long, cool woman.
Sometimes we have to listen to the whole song. George, what's the band on this song?
It was the Hollies.
The Hollies, okay. Very good.
It was a big stink because the fellow who recorded this tried to do it as a solo act, and his old buddies who used to be the Hollies says, "We'll sue you if you try." So they sort of got together just to do this too.
All right. Well, a big success. Here's what I was reading to you just before the break, folks. I'm drawing a parallel here between Charles A. Lindbergh and Donald J. Trump here in this show, and you'll hear me doing that often.
Oh, no, not the whole thing over again.
Here it is. This is Lindbergh, who came up with the phrase America First, or who popularized it in America in 1940 and 41. He was trying to keep America out of the most destructive war in the history of the white race. He came close. He came close. There were 800,000 members in the America First Committee. Had it not been for the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, I think he would have succeeded in keeping America out of World War II. But America was pretty much, on December 7th, let's put it this way, on December 8th, pretty much every red-blooded American was down at his recruiting station volunteering because of the attack on Pearl Harbor. What a catastrophe that was. And for everybody, the Japanese, for us, for the whole white race. But here's what he said, Trump, really, I think, setting the theme of this show. It is time, this is on page 66 of the November 1939 issue of Reader's Digest. Lila Acheson and DeWitt Wallace were the owners, two great white patriotic Americans. It is time to turn from our quarrels and friends of Lindbergh. Turn from our quarrels and to build our white, with a capital W, ramparts again. This alliance with foreign races means nothing but death to us. It is our turn to guard our heritage from Mongol and Persian and more, listing some of the other races, before we become engulfed in a limitless foreign sea. That's the immigration invasion that we are now sinking under. Got a little break right here. That was a brief segment there. But we'll be right back, and we can get some calls in after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know some companies take shortcuts? At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
We're back, folks. And welcome back. Paul Fromm had to sign off. Thank you very much, Paul, for joining us today. Welcome back, folks. Trying to get the theme music too.
And it's the Eric Clapton Hour on Republic Broadcast.
Is this Eric Clapton? No.
Killing people all the time. When it happens on the street.
Okay, I think we're back now.
We call that a grind.
That isn't Eric Clapton, is it, George? Hello, engineer.
Gonna have a missing in action engineer here.
Missing in action.
It's jamming from the DNC, James.
Okay.
They finally cracked the code.
It's the Russians. It's Vladimir Putin.
That's what it is. The Russians did it. We've been hacked by the Russians.
We've been hacked.
They stole the election.
Yeah, I'm going to try to raise the engineers. We're in big trouble if this is a loop, Paul. There's a loop won't stop. Oh, there we go. Well, it is in the loop. There we go. Now we're back, folks. thank you for enjoying that song with us. And if that was that Eric Clapton, George?
Absolutely.
It is. Okay, well, I got my Eric Clapton story. I got a story about everything. I met Eric Clapton one time. Now, Eric Clapton made a great comment back. Let's help me with my memory here, George. Enoch Powell was a member of Parliament. And he gave a speech called the Rivers of Blood speech. And I don't remember the year. I think it was in the 1970s. And in that speech, he said that if Britain did not control her borders, and let me tell you, the influx of non-Europeans coming into Britain when Enoch Powell made a speech was a trickle. It was a drip compared to what has happened subsequently. But even then...
20 April
1968. Close. The 20 April. Let me see if I can remember that next time. Enoch Powell said that Britain, that rivers of blood would flow in Britain. In other words, a civil war would ensue if a non-white population invaded Britain. And for this speech, patriots, of course, loved this speech. And one of those people who praised this speech, believe it or not, folks, was Eric Clapton. And Eric Clapton caught a tremendous amount of flack from, of course, his totally left-wing controlled industry for having made that statement. But here's my little story. I was shopping in a health food store in Santa Monica late at night, and I was in the yogurt section looking for my favorite flavor of yogurt, and there was a guy next to me doing the same thing, and we were both poking around among the same yogurts, and I looked to my side, and I was, 12 inches away from Eric Clapton, and he apparently, if you're that big a star, you know the look when someone looks at you and you see their eyes widen, and so he just said to me, "Yes." I didn't say anything. He just said, "Yes." In other words, yes, I am Eric Clapton. And we got to talk for a while. It was wonderful. He signed a grocery bag for me, which my brother still has. But I got a chance to thank Eric Clapton for praising Enoch Powell's Rivers of Blood speech back in April of 1968. Anyway, there's my Eric Clapton. I didn't realize we were playing Eric Clapton. I like that song a whole lot more.
Well, Mr. Clapton had gone on record as saying, "United Kingdom is a white country." He got in a lot of trouble for that.
Yes, and that's back in those days, folks. Those very, very white days of the 1960s, when I was a young man, Paul was a young man, George was a twinkle in his daddy's eye, and was very, very little. You must have been very little. and that America is not long gone. It's not far distant thing. I'm sort of making the same point with Eric Clapton. I didn't realize he was one of our theme songs. With Charles Lindbergh, and speaking of, you know, when men were men, and I guess women were women, I almost got a signed copy of North to the Orient about their 1931 flight. You're not going to believe this. The book came out in 1935. I almost got that Charles Lindbergh signature. I wish Paul were still here to hear this. They set off in an open cockpit. Yes, open cockpit, Sirius seaplane. And they flew. They departed on July 27, 1931 from Long Island. It's the same island he departed for in his Paris flight in 1927. And Lindbergh, by the way, is not a pilot. She was trained by her husband. They flew through Ottawa, Moose Factory, Churchill, on Hudson Bay, Ottawa. They went all across Canada to Manitoba, so very near here. Here's what they did. They headed to Nome, Alaska. This is in an open cockpit plane. They went to Churchill, Manitoba. They then crossed the North Atlantic overseas in an open cockpit. They arrived in Siberia, Kamchatka. The Russians liked Anne Lindbergh, and they welcomed them warmly. Then they flew to another Russian island. The plane was damaged. They flew on over the ocean towards Tokyo, battling fog. And then they landed in Tokyo Bay on August 26th. They then flew to Nanking, China, to the Yangtze River, which was flooding, helped in rescue operations there. Anyway, they would have continued, but the plane was being loaded aboard the British battleship Hermes. The guy loading it made a mistake, damaged the plane in lifting it up, and they found out that her dad had died. Dwight Morrow had died, so that ended their Oriental exploration trip. But just to make the point of what guts we Americans had in the time of our great grandparents, this guy who flew the Atlantic, he also flew all over Africa, he flew all over South America by himself in an airplane, flew with his wife to Asia. Over the North Atlantic. Can you imagine North Pacific in an open cockpit seaplane?
I'm sure it was nice and crisp in the cockpit, too.
Oh, my gosh. And just having your wife in the back seat that you've just trained how to fly. I mean, this man had guts. And I think that our ancestors had a level of courage that, you know, we can regain this. It's in us. The genetics for this is in us. So we just have to kind of retrain ourselves. And
that's why the other side is so hysterical, James. Look at the uprising. That's what I really think. It's not the Trump phenomenon. It's the Donald Trump American uprising.
Yes.
The other side, I've never heard it. I mean, the hysteria is real. You know, Donald Trump goes on and has an 8-year term. The other side is finished.
Yeah.
They are.
Well, yeah.
They'll never recover from having 8 solid years of Donald Trump and everything that our side's going to gain from it.
Well, yeah, I will agree with you this far. Everything will forever be changed. And that's already true. None of us will ever be able to forget what we've already witnessed, what we've already accomplished, what Trump has already done. He set a marker that we won't forget. Like Lindbergh, people who thought one man in a plane can't cross the Atlantic. Well, yes, he can. How do we know it can be done? Because I did it. That's how we know. And that's the same thing with Trump. How do we know we can elect a president? Because elect a patriot president? Because I did it, Donald Trump can say. So the doubters, anybody who thinks it's not possible, it's too late. Politics is futile. etc. Donald Trump proved that's not true, and the contrary is true, that we can take our country back. We can vote a patriot into power.
You're right, James. It's what makes me so angry about number six, is people on our side throwing rocks at Donald Trump.
Well,
it really makes me angry. Going, hey, you know, if you're a nationalist or a patriot and you can't support Donald Trump, you need to join the other side or drop out altogether.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, going back to that, you know, Lindbergh quote, what is it? It is time to turn from our quarrels. So I don't want to start a quarrel with anybody in or outside of our movement. I mean, in our movement, I don't want our quarrels within our family. I don't want any. And to build our white ramparts again. And so it's going to be a hard slog here for us to save our people, our race, our kind. It's going to be a hard slog everywhere in every white country, from Australia to Russia. And we, everybody who we can, everybody needs to be in this fight. We are, well, there's a, something we'll devote a whole show to this. There's a graph out there that the person who put it together is calling the most important graph in the world. And it's a graph made from the United Nations population forecasts for planet Earth. And it shows, this graph shows that in 1900, I believe it is, let's see, or it may have been later than that, the European population was 500 million. The African population was 250 million. It projects that by, I think, the year 2100, the European population will still be, this is in Europe, will still be 500 million. The population of Africa, Black Africa, will be 4.5 billion.
Before you go any farther, James, I find lots of flaws in the theory. I simply don't believe it's the most important statistic in the world. Africa is not going to go nice and linearly to 4.5 billion souls.
Well, but the point that and I'm trying to remember who put this together. It's a pretty brilliant guy. What the point being this, that it's in our ad actually for the American Freedom Party. The little ad that you hear between segments here. One of our ads says that we, you know, the European population, we used to be a third of the Earth's population. And this was very recently, like 1900. We were a third of the Earth's population. We're now, we are less than 10% of the Earth's population, or, you know, in that vicinity. We have gone from being a big component of the Earth's population to being a beleaguered minority. So, and if this trend continues, the African population, there's no question, it is growing by huge numbers, and AIDS isn't putting any damper on that. Just growing by huge numbers, and
lack of food will.
Well, but see, that's where we're hanging ourselves, because we're providing the food and we're providing the fresh water, we're providing the sanitation and the health care. Bill Gates, the billions of dollars that he has paid in fees by us white folks, using his software, he turns around and co-signs that check over to African Aid. I mean, what in the world happened to Bill Gates' brain? But that he's financing a population boom in Africa. He and others like him. So the situation that we face here goes back to what Lindbergh was saying, that, you know, back in 1939. He was saying that all foreign races stir restlessly, and we will become engulfed in a limitless foreign sea. He was saying that back when we were, that foreign sea was not so limitless, and we were a much bigger proportion of the Earth's population. So the situation has really gotten dire for us. And Donald Trump, at the beginning of his campaign, he said, this is our last chance. And what he was saying, this is our last chance. What do you think he was referring to? The last chance to for this or that economic plan? No. The last chance for this or that social program? No. It was the last chance for our people to save ourselves, to make America great again, which was his code language for let's get the country that Paul and I and George grew up in. Let's try to get as much of that country back as we can. The country that Eric Clapton grew up in, which is why he agreed with Enoch Powell way back in 1968. Boy, I just turned 20 at that point. No, I was 19 years old when Eric Clapton said that. So there you have it. Let's go back sort of to the opening theme of this show, so that we can kind of point to what we'll be doing tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, Donald Trump will be in leg two of his journey. We got one more break, one more segment, and we'll wrap the show up. Stay tuned. Eyes from the circling skies, just an
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN,
we're back, folks. Got one little segment left. Oh, we've got a person holding on the line here, and I didn't see you, Wayne. Wayne, you're on the air.
Hi, James. Good show.
Well, thank
Wayne.
You, sir.
My hello,
gosh,
hello,
how long have you been waiting, Wayne?
I went through the song marathon a couple times, so it's been a while.
All right. Well, thank you, brother. We got 2 minutes left, basically. Give us something good to chew on.
Okay. You were talking about Tucker Carlson earlier, and in that Friday show, at the 31-minute mark, he brought on that Professor Alan Dershowitz, Clinton supporter and all that, and his main theme was there was no crime committed here. He says no statute committed that of the Trump group, and there's three key points. He says even if Trump and them knew the Russians were going to hack the DNC, that's not a crime in itself. It's only a crime if they had instructed the Russians to do it or gave them information how to do it. Point number two is that firing Comey is not obstruction of justice. He performed his constitutional duty. There is no crime there either. Point number three, the special prosecutor, this Mueller, actually can help Trump because the proceedings are going to actually be held in secret. It might take a couple years, and the most are going to probably come out of it is a low-level operative. Maybe even Flynn or someone else might have to take a little walk for a while. But again, even though he's pro-Clinton and pro-Democrat, he is adamant in his neutrality, saying there was no crime committed. He sees nothing there.
And Alan Dershowitz, to fill it in, I believe he's a professor at Harvard.
I believe so. But if you want to find that clip, it's pretty worthwhile. It's about 4 or 5 minutes, but Tucker is shocked because he just said that he hadn't thought of it that way, that there had to be firm collusion. But even if Trump and them knew in advance the Russians were going to do it, which we probably know they probably didn't because of that Seth fella, but it just seems like there's been a big pumping this whole thing up over nothing. So,
well, Wayne, this is encouraging news. Yeah, this is what we want to hope for out of the Mueller investigation. I don't know how he pronounces his name, Mueller or Mueller. Let's hope this goes in that direction. And Buchanan was rather somber on the thing. He thinks that the Mueller investigation will be, he calls it a slow walk. He says Mueller is going to slow walk it, and he is going to be greeted by an ecstatic press that will do, will pump up anything that Mueller does. They will exaggerate it and blow it up. So Buchanan is pessimistic about this thing that Rod Rosenstein did. I like your optimism, but we'll have to stay tuned.
Check the clip out and see what you think of it, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, and it's wonderful. Well, thank you. Hang on, Wayne. Stay with us as we close the show. I really appreciate your waiting. And I, by the way, I love your calls. I hope you can, really make it anytime you can call in. And shame on me for ever keeping you on hold. If you, just tell the engineer, hey, hit that guy Kelso over the head with a microphone and get me on the air, because you make very good points.
I'm a big fan of you and George, so I'll wait as long as I need to.
Well, okay, but don't be shy. And callers out there, you can talk to the engineers here who are super guys, and, you can give them messages, which they will relay to us. You can, you can urge them, come on, I got to get on the air. I got to feed my children. We're at the dinner table. Come on. And so they'll listen to you, and they'll pass that along to me. George will hoot and holler if I'm missing something. So I really, really value, what you're saying, Wayne. And, my ultimate faith here is that I think Donald Trump is such a large figure, such a great man in history, like Lindbergh, that he is capable of and will deliver extraordinary performance. And so that's where I'm, one reason for the root source of my optimism. Two things. One, Trump is this great individual who has arrived at the right time. And the other, of course, is that our patriot cause, maybe an even greater cause of optimism, is that there are people like you, Wayne, out there, large numbers of you, who get it and who are fed up and are going to propel us in this fight, so that we will, beleaguered minority that we may be on the planet, we will go on. We will preserve our kind. We are, even though we are a minority now that we never were before, our numbers are the greatest they have ever been in the history of the white race. We are, however, I wish somebody would do a real book on this, however many of us there may be, 800 million, 900 million of us. It is the largest number we've ever attained in our storied history.
Great. Well, it's quality, not quantity, and it's time is now. It's now or never.
Well, thank you so much, Wayne. Folks, we'll see you all tomorrow night.